And as Lord Chaitanya left, Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, one son, Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas, whose husband, Jagannath Mishra, had died. She had nothing but Nimai as her life. What would Sachi Mata go through if her son takes sannyas? Nityananda Prabhu could not get this thought out of his heart. What pain, what suffering Sachi Mata will undergo if he leaves this world as a sannyasi. And thinking of the heart of Sachi Mata, Nityananda Prabhu simply went to a secluded place and he cried and he wept incessantly out of compassion for the Lord's mother. On the night of Makara Sankranti, when the sun enters into the northern hemisphere, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and went to Katwa. He instructed Nityananda Prabhu to go there as well. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was part of the organization of the wonderful festival. Nityananda Prabhu himself had to bear the unthinkable pain of seeing Lord Chaitanya, his head being shaven and being given the danda of a renunciate. And then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and some of the other associates began their travel to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu understands the heart of the Lord. The Lord said, "Bring me to Vrindavan." But Lord Nityananda knew that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for his devotees is more love for his own personal interests. Lord Chaitanya longed to be in Vrindavan. But a greater desire than that is to please his devotees. So knowing the inner heart of the Lord, Lord Nityananda told some young boys, when this sannyasi asks you, "Where is the Jamuna?" you point him the direction of the Ganges. And then he sent one of the devotees, Chandrasekhar Acharya, to Advaitacharya's home in Santipur, and told him, "Lord Chaitanya will be bathing in the Ganga. Please bring some fresh clothes for him." So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was misdirected. And when he saw the river Ganges, he thought he was in the Jamuna. He thought he arrived in Vrindavan. He was in great ecstasy. He began to take his bath. And then he saw Advaitacharya coming with his boat. And he said, "Here is your kopan." Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing in Vrindavan, Advaitacharya? How did you know I am here?" He said, no, this is the Ganga, this is Santipur." Lord Chaitanya said, "Lord Nityananda has cheated me." Externally he was angry, but internally he was completely satisfied. During the wonderful festival in Santipur, by the will of Sachi Mata, Lord Sri Chaitanya decided to go to Jagannath Puri instead of Vrindavan. And he departed. And Nityananda Prabhu was one of his associates. And at one time, Lord Chaitanya went to bathe in river. And while he was bathing, before going in, he told Nityananda Prabhu, "Please hold my danda." And Lord Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda in three places. Put it in the river. Later on, Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, "Give me my danda." Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied that there is no danda. You were in ecstatic love and you fell and the danda broke and it went somewhere else. Lord Chaitanya knew what Lord Nityananda had done. He said, "I will not go to Jagannath Puri with you. Either you go first or I will go first." So Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "You go first, we will follow. That is your desire." How is it? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada explained the great, great significance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's breaking the danda of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the sake of preaching, took sannyas in Shankaracharya Sampradaya. Because that was the only sampradaya where sannyasis were really being respected. So he had an ekadanda. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu could not tolerate seeing this ekadanda. Lord Nityananda Prabhu understood it should be a tridanda. It should not be an ekadanda. The Vaishnavas carry tridandas. The three dandas represent body, mind, and words dedicated to the service of the Lord. The ekadanda represents being one with the Lord. So Nityananda converted his ekadanda into a tridanda by breaking it into three places. And also, the danda is for those sannyasis who are Parivrajak Acharyas. But when one becomes Paramhamsa, he doesn't have to follow these conventional standards. So Nityananda Prabhu was thinking that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Paramhamsa. He should not have danda. So in this way, in his own deep, mysterious, ecstatic love of the Lord, he broke the danda and threw it in the river. And to this very day, this river is known as Danda Bhagna, and it is worshipped by all the devotees. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri. And upon seeing Jagannath, he fell unconscious and was brought to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And soon after that, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees arrived. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to see Lord Jagannath, he also, in great ecstatic love, he had been to Jagannath Puri previously during his yatra. On one occasion, it is described, a beautiful story, of how one day Lord Nityananda Prabhu went into Jagannath's temple and he saw the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath and he ran to embrace him and began embracing Jagannath. And another day he came in and he saw the beautiful form of Balaram and he just ran up right on the altar and started embracing Lord Balaram. And the guard was very upset. Because no one is allowed to do this. So the guard was very angry and he ran. And as Lord Nityananda was embracing Baladev, the guard went, put his hands on him to take him away. And as soon as he touched Nityananda, the guard was just pushed back a long distance. And the guard was thinking, I am so strong. I can hold an elephant. How is it that I have just been pushed back like this? And he didn't even move. I was just by touching him, I just went flying backwards. And he was thinking, he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must be Balaram himself. And the next time he saw Lord Nityananda, he fell at Lord Nityananda's feet, the guard, and surrendered to him. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him, and invested him with love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day, in a secluded place, he was sitting with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And what they spoke, no one knows. But we do know that he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu to go to Bengal to preach. And then in order to reach to the lowest persons, in the most sinful places, he cannot be a sannyasi. Because sannyasis have to follow certain principles of etiquette, renunciates, who they can associate with, where they can go. So he instructed Lord Nityananda Prabhu to get married so that he can go anywhere and everywhere. And that he should preach in Bengal. So So taking this instruction as his life and soul, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, along with some of his associates, took leave of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri and began to go to Bengal. And of course, they never walked, they only danced. They never talked, they only sang beautiful kirtan. And this was a wonderful journey. All of his associates were dancing and singing the wonderful holy names of Krishna. And Abhiram Thakur, at one point, he just became so engrossed in the mood of a cowherd boy that he just stood in a threefold bending form playing on a flute, and he stood motionless for 9 hours in the middle of the road as all the devotees just continued the kirtan of the holy name. As they were performing this wonderful kirtan, they completely became oblivious to what direction they were going. In fact, after hours of chanting and dancing, they asked someone, "Where is the road to Bengal?" They said, "It's about 20 miles back that way." So they started going that way, and as they were traveling, they were dancing and chanting the holy names in great ecstatic love. Then sometime later, they asked someone, "Where is the road to Bengal?" "The road to Bengal is about 6 hours that way." In this way, they were never going in the right direction. But somehow or other, they ended up in Bengal. And they first went to the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati. And there, Lord Nityananda Prabhu induced all the devotees to have wonderful, wonderful kirtans. And they became so ecstatic in kirtans. And Lord Nityananda was demonstrating the most incredible opulence. During the kirtan, anyone he glanced upon, that glance was so full with ecstatic prema that those devotees just went mad. They just went ecstatically mad. He'd glance at someone and they just started climbing on trees and dancing on the trees. They danced all the way to the most fragile branches and twigs of the trees, and somehow or other, they didn't even fall. And some were jumping from the tops of trees in the kirtan. And some started embracing the trees with great love and dancing, and the trees would be uprooted and they would be dancing with trees. And someone else embraced 7 trees and uprooted them all and were dancing with them. Lord Nityananda said to Raghava Pandit, "Please bring me a flower from a kadamba tree." And Raghava Pandit said that kadamba trees don't grow in Bengal, they only grow in Vrindavan. And besides that, this is not even the season for kadamba flowers, even if there was such a tree. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "Go in your garden and see if there's any kadamba flowers." So he went in the garden, and from a lime tree that was filled with fresh kadamba flowers. So Raghava Pandit very happily picked all the flowers and made garland and brought it and offered it to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he asked the devotees to decorate him with fine ornaments. And he actually sat on the throne of Vishnu. And the devotees performed an abhishek for him, beautiful abhishek, bathing Lord Nityananda Prabhu with all divine substances as everyone was chanting the holy names. And it is explained when he was in the role of an avaduta, somebody really, really, one of his devotees really wanted to give him ornaments, but he said, "I cannot accept it." But now that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to get married, he wanted to fulfill everyone's desire. So he allowed all the devotees to bring him fine ornaments and silks and decorate him. And anyone who saw him in that beautiful form was just struck with ecstatic love of God. In this way, the kirtan at the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati went on in such ecstasy that for 3 months of continuous kirtan, no one ate anything, no one drank anything, no one slept. 24 hours a day for 3 months, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his devotees were chanting the holy names and dancing. And during that kirtan, at one point, a great miracle took place. The whole atmosphere was permeated with the fragrance of Damanaka flowers. But Damanaka flowers only grow in Jagannath Puri. They don't grow in Bengal. So where is this fragrance coming from? Everyone was just astonished. And then Nityananda Prabhu disclosed the secret. Because this kirtan is so full of devotion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally come in his own spiritual form and he has danced in this kirtan with us. And because he has come from Jagannath Puri, his body is decorated with Damanaka flowers, and that is what you are smelling. The flowers from the body of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. After this wonderful 3 month kirtan, they began to chant and dance along the banks of the Ganges. And one day they saw little children just playing. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu cast his merciful glance upon the children, they all just became mad and started raising their arms and loudly chanting, "Krishna Hare." Some of the children started just embracing trees and uprooting them and dancing with them. And the parents, they couldn't stop their children from chanting and dancing. There was nothing they could do. 24 hours a day, for 30 days, these children had this kirtan. Without eating, without drinking, without sleeping, without going home to their parents. The parents would just come and watch them. And even they became filled with ecstatic love due to the influence of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadvip Dham. While in Navadvip, there was a Brahmin. He fell in bad association and he became a dacoit and a thief. And he had a whole gang of robbers. And he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was often decorated with nice ornaments. And he was thinking, if we can get these ornaments, we will be rich. So he told his gang of robbers that when he sleeps, we must rob him of his ornaments. Then we will have real wealth. So we should pray to Goddess Durga to help us. So that night they got their weapons. Each of them was holding swords and knives and daggers and axes and clubs. And they were hiding next to a tree. And they had a spy who was pretending to be like a devotee. And he was watching Nityananda Prabhu and the devotees' activities. Come back and he would report. Now they're having kirtan. Nityananda Prabhu was dancing. And now they're eating prasad. Then he came back and said, very soon they'll be taking rest because they're almost done with prasad. So as they were waiting, all the robbers fell asleep. Then in the morning they heard the birds singing and they woke up and the sun was up. They thought, what happened? Why is this? We lost our chance. It's daytime. And the robbers were all looking at each other. How is this possible? And then the Brahmin, who was their leader, he said, I know the reason. Because we did not do puja for Goddess Durga before doing this. Therefore, she is punishing us. So tomorrow we will do proper puja. So the next day they were waiting for Lord Nityananda Prabhu to take rest. And while they were waiting, some of them were thinking, they were discussing who would get what. I will get his earrings, one person said. I will get those golden earrings. And the other robber said, I will get his necklace. The other said, I will get his bangles and his armlets. I will get the anklets on his feet. And they were getting more and more lusty for the jewels on Lord Nityananda's body. So then they performed big puja for Durga Devi. And then after it was told that they were sleeping, they went to the house. And when they got to the house, they saw these big, big guards. Each one was a giant, like a monster. And they were holding weapons, and they were circumambulating the house, and they were chanting the holy names of God. And the robbers thought that one of these guards is so huge that they can crush us to pieces. Now what are we going to do? So the Brahmin said, some great king or some wealthy man must be visiting Nityananda Prabhu, and this is his guards. But they will, after some days, they will go away. So they were watching and watching. And when the guards went away, then they did their Durga Puja, begging her to empower them to perform sinful activities. Then everything was perfect according to all of their desires. And each of them had 5 to 7 terrible, deathly weapons hanging from their bodies and their hands. And they started walking up to the house of Nityananda Prabhu. He was actually staying at the house of Hadai Pandit, a simple Brahmin who was a great devotee. And as they approached the house, all of a sudden, all the robbers became blind, completely blind. They couldn't see anything. And one of them fell into a ditch and broke all his bones. And while he was laying in the ditch, mosquitoes started biting him. And then leeches started getting and sucking their blood. And another one fell in a garbage pit. Bones were broken and all smelly, terrible garbage. He was just all over him. And then scorpions started stinging him and insects started biting him. And another person, he was blind. He just walked right into a pit of thorns and he fell down in that pit. And the thorns were like razor sharp knives just tearing his whole body apart. He was bleeding. Every part of his body was just being stabbed, and if he tried to move in any direction, it just went deeper and deeper and deeper. And he was also getting eaten by all kinds of terrible, hungry insects. And another one of the robbers, all of a sudden, he just fell to the ground with high fever. Terrible burning fever. And then all the insects started biting him. And they were all just laying there screaming and crying. And then Indra, he was so angry that they were trying to kill Lord Nityananda and rob him, that he sent torrential rains. Massive clouds came. It became ice cold, freezing cold. And torrents of rain. And then the rain turned into hail. And there were these giant ice balls just crushing and cracking the limbs of these robbers. They were blind. They couldn't see. There was a constant barrage of these hailstorms just pounding against their bodies and insects biting them and thorns ripping them. And it was freezing cold and they were trembling. They were totally in misery. And this went on and on and on. They were being tortured. And then the Brahmin, who was the leader of the gang, he began to think in his heart, that the first night we fell asleep. And we woke up after everything was finished. And the second night we saw those guards who were not human beings. And now we're like this. I can understand that Lord Nityananda is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I am so sinful. I am such a demon. I want to harm him and steal from him. But he has come to this world to give shelter to the most fallen. So I must take shelter of his lotus feet. And in that unbearable position, the Brahmin began to cry out for the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And at that very moment, the rain and the hail stopped. The temperature became nice. All the insects went away. The thorns released them. And they all somehow or other came out of this miserable condition. And they all went to take their bath in the Ganga. And the next morning, this Brahmin, dacoit, he came to the house of Hiranyapandit and crying out in great agony of regret, he fell at the feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and begged his forgiveness. Lord Nityananda, when he saw him, all these devotees, they knew he was a dacoit. Some of them were thinking, what is he doing here? Lord Nityananda said, what are you doing here? He said, I have come to take shelter. I have come to surrender my life. I am the most wicked. I am the most sinful. I have come with weapons in my hands to cause harm to you, to steal from you. But I have suffered so terribly by your mercy. And through this suffering, I have learned that I have no other shelter but your lotus feet. It is a fact, when a person is under the illusion that he can be the enjoyer of this material world, the Lord's mercy is misery. When the Lord is compassionate to his devotee, he'll give him what he wants. When he's really compassionate, he makes him miserable. He takes everything away so that the devotee has no other shelter but me. That is the Lord's promise. So materialistic people, they are trying to enjoy the property of the Lord, and thus they are depriving themselves from the golden opportunity to return back home, back to Godhead in this precious human life. And the Lord gives so many instructions. He gives so many opportunities. He has sent the holy scriptures. He has sent the holy devotees. He has sent so many churches and mosques and temples and places to go to learn about the purpose of life. But yet people are still addicted to sinful activities. So therefore, the Lord's mercy to them is suffering, misery. And usually it has to come to the point of being totally hopeless and helpless before we return to our constitutional position of chanting the holy names helplessly. So this Brahmin was explaining that out of your great love and compassion, you have put me through so much suffering. But now I have understood that I am a sinful rascal and I am a demon. And I have wasted my life. I have murdered people. I have killed cows. I have done every type of terrible activity just for my own sense enjoyment. And worse than that, I attacked you, the all-merciful personality of Godhead. Therefore, on this day, I surrender my life to you. I beg forgiveness from you. And now, due to my sins and my offenses, I will go and I will drown myself in the river Ganges. Lord Nityananda Prabhu lifted him up and embraced him. And took the garland off his own neck and placed it around the neck of this Brahmin. And he told this dacoit, that never again engage in sinful activities. Never again cause harm to any living being. You be a kind servant of the Vaishnavas. You be a compassionate servant of all fallen souls. You live a pure life and constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. Go to the other dacoits and thieves and all of the other sinful, lowly, suffering people, and you preach to them this message of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and induce them all to chant the holy name. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. Way, Sri Nityananda Prabhu gave his mercy to this Brahmin, dacoit. And upon receiving this mercy and taking the name of the Lord right in front of all the devotees, this Brahmin began to weep. His limbs began to tremble in ecstatic love. He began to exhibit all the symptoms of a pure Vaishnava. And then he went out and he began preaching. And all the robbers, and all the thieves, and all the dacoits of the whole area, they all came and surrendered to Sri Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet by his influence. And he became the leader of this wonderful Sankirtan party of ex-dacoits. They all became pure, sinless Vaishnavas. They no longer took pleasure in sense gratification or causing harm to others. That their only pleasure was to sacrifice their lives to help others by getting them to understand the mercy of the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of Krishna. While Lord Nityananda Prabhu was in Navadvip, Srila Jiva Goswami came, and Nityananda Prabhu took Srila Jiva Goswami on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama to all the nine islands, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally explained each of the holy places in Sri Navadvip Mandal, and by his causeless mercy, he actually invoked Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates to appear in several of the places to give darshan to Srila Jiva Goswami, dancing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then Nityananda Prabhu sent Jiva Goswami to join Rupa and Sanatan, his two uncles, and assist them in Vrindavan. It was also while they were in Navadvip that Advaitacharya and Srivas decided that we should help Lord Nityananda to find proper, suitable match in marriage. At that time, there was a village called Shaligram. And in that village lived a very, very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Suryadas. And he had the title Sarakela, due to his exalted service to the king. Suryadas Sarakela had two beautiful, beautiful daughters. One's name was Vasudha, and the other was Janava. They were the very embodiments of the most exquisite beauty, an ocean of good qualities. And he desired to get them married. So he had one Brahmin trying to find a possible match for them. Meanwhile, he came back and explained that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, there is no one who is a better match for your two daughters than him. And when he heard the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he became very satisfied. And that night he had a dream. In the dream he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu standing, so beautiful in his transcendental, ecstatic love of God. And that Suryadas was giving his hands, the hands of his two daughters, to Nityananda Prabhu in marriage. And he saw the marriage ceremony taking place. And as the three personalities stood there, he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu turn into Balaram. And he saw Vishuddha turn into Varuni. And he saw Janava turn into Revati, the two consorts of Balaram. And then he could understand what was their eternal position. And he became convinced that this is the right thing. And then the message was sent to Nityananda Prabhu and Srivas. He actually made the arrangements. And the marriage was set. And there was, in the town of Kardaha, there was a beautiful, beautiful marriage ceremony that took place. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu was reunited with his eternal consorts, Vasudha and Janava. After the marriage, they went to Navadvip. And Sachi Mata, she was so happy to see, because Nityananda Prabhu was like her own son. She was so happy to see Vishuddha and Janava that Sachi Mata accepted them like her own daughter-in-laws and embraced them and cried in great love and affection. And they, Vishuddha and Janava, took the dust from Sachi Mata's lotus feet upon their heads and served her with great care during their visit to Navadvip. And they went to Kardaha, where they lived. And it was in Kardaha that Nityananda Prabhu, through Vasudha, gave birth to one daughter named Ganga and one son named Virachandra. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, at one time, he went back to Ekachakra to visit after many decades of being away. By that time, his mother and father, of course, had already gone back to Godhead. And while residing in Ekachakra, one day, he had a dream where the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, appeared to him and told him that he would meet him in the river. There was a river called Maureshwar. This river, it is also none different than the Jamuna. And it flows by a beautiful temple of Shiva called Maureshwar Mahadev. And that deity in that temple, which is still today, was worshipped by Hadai Pandit Padmavati, as well as Lord Nityananda when he was a young child. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to the river Jamuna in Ekachakra, and there he saw floating in the river beautiful, beautiful deity. And he cleaned the clay from the deity, and he saw the beautiful form, and he named that deity Bankei Rai. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu personally installed that deity in Ekachakra. And short time later, in a vision, Radharani appeared and told him that she was under a tree in a nearby place, and she wanted to be united with her beloved Lord. So Radharani and Bankei Rai was installed in a beautiful temple of Ekachakra and personally worshipped by Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. There are many wonderful stories. Of course, we know the story of how Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, how in his village in Bengal, there was once a festival And one of the associates of Nityananda Prabhu named Meena Ketan Aramdas attended that festival. And the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he made an offense to Meena Ketan Aramdas. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very upset that how can you make offense by neglecting a devotee of Lord Nityananda? And his brother had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but no faith in Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, sometimes he acted in mysterious ways. But those who understand, they worship him, and understand there is no means, there is no way of approaching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had argument with his brother. And he told his brother, if you do not have faith in Lord Nityananda Prabhu, your so-called faith in Lord Chaitanya is useless. To try to have faith in one without the other is like the philosophy of half of a hen. A fool will think that the rear half of a hen gives eggs, the front half eats. So one is an asset and one is a liability. So I will cut the hen in half, and I will keep the back half and throw out the front half. But if you do that, the hen will die. So similarly, you cannot approach the Lord without going through the spiritual master. The original spiritual master is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother and defended the dignity of Lord Nityananda's position. And that night in a dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in a beautiful bluish form, dressed as a cowherd boy, holding a stick with a beautiful turban, his eyes rolling in an ecstatic love, saying again and again, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then he turned to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswamiji, and with eyes glancing upon him in great compassion, he pointed toward Vrindavan and he told him, go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan and all your desires will be attained. Upon that instruction of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the next morning Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, without saying anything to anyone, without making any types of arrangements, he just left and walked to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore, throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is falling at the feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu as his Lord and Master. For it was through the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he says, that I have achieved the feet, the lotus feet of Sri Rupan Raghunath Das Goswamis. And it is only by his mercy that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is being revealed to the world. And Nityananda Prabhu, he was also the personal teacher and associate of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was living in Mamgachi in Navadweep. Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally taught Vrindavan Das Thakur the wonderful pastimes and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And later on, Janava Devi, Lord Nityananda's consort, accepted Vrindavan Das Thakur as her own son. And it was through Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur that Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was written. And in every chapter, Vrindavan Das Thakur is taking shelter of the feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he repeatedly explains, it is not me speaking. It is Sri Nityananda Prabhu speaking through me, writing through my pen to extol the glories of his Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu descended to this world to glorify the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami tried in every possible way to remove himself from material entanglements and achieve the shelter of Lord Chaitanya's feet. It was not until he approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered at his lotus feet and served his devotees with great care and attention that he received that benediction. Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojana Acharya himself, Raghunath Das Goswami is the supreme most authority in our whole sampradaya, in all sampradayas, in the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami explains that Radha and Krishna has appeared in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you cannot approach the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna without surrendering to the teachings and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojan Acharya, said, you cannot approach the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, without first getting the blessings and the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, he surrendered at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And what did Nityananda Prabhu do? Before giving him his blessings, Nityananda Prabhu ordered Raghunath, by performing that wonderful Chiradahi Utsav. And there was a wonderful feast. And after satisfying all the devotees, Lord Nityananda Prabhu asked them all Vaishnavas, give your blessings to Raghunath Das. And at that time, Nityananda Prabhu personally awarded him that blessing. You will achieve the intimate loving service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very soon. At the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put an end to his earthly pastimes, he entered into the beautiful deity of Tota Gopinath. In the same way, sometime later, Nityananda Prabhu in Ekatraka entered into the beautiful form of Sri Bankei Rai and thus disappeared from this world. But Sri Nityananda Prabhu lives forever in the hearts of those devotees who sincerely remember him and call out his holy names. Sri Nityananda Prabhu has revealed the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has plundered the storehouse of love of God to distribute it freely to everyone. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the ocean of mercy in this age of Kali Yuga, who has come to give pardon and forgiveness to the jagais and madhais who have been addicted to all sinful activities, and giving them pure love of Krishna. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur prays, one cannot achieve the service of Radha Krishna without first surrendering to Lord Nityananda. And how do we surrender to Lord Nityananda Prabhu? By serving his devotees. By living lives of the servants of the servants of the servants. And always dancing and chanting Krishna's holy name. Nityananda Prabhu ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Thank you very much.